Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. The Proverbs conclude with a description of a virtuous woman. However, many aspects of her character would be desirable for anyone, man, woman, married or single, and even children. We should all consider what her example teaches us all about living one's life in the fear of the Lord. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 31, verse 12, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter and concludes our series on Proverbs.
She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She's a thrifty shopper. And she looks for a bargain both near and far. You go riding around, and she never misses a garage sale sign. I can get this item at this store for this much cheaper. I go, yep, go get it, girl. She looks for a bargain. She's like merchant's ships. She rises also, I love this, while it is night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Because back then, kings would often have maidens. And notice this, she rises while it is night. She's married to the king, or in this context, doesn't have to be, but here's the idea. She's not lying in bed. She's not ringing a bell and waiting for the servants to attend to her. Rather, she rises and by providing for the servants, multiplies her effectiveness. This gal is sharp. This gal is industrious. And no doubt it's not mentioned here. I'm sure that she does a whole lot of praying during the day and during the night. She considers a field and buys it. And with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. So she's a wise investor. And she even finds the time to plant a vineyard. Why? In order to cut costs of food down. You get the idea what kind of a gal this is? You guys that are here and you're not married, look at this checklist. Her submission to her husband's authority does not forbid her to engage in business for the sake of the household. David Guzik says, the various tasks described in verses 13 through 16 does not mean that she does all these things in a day or even in a week, but it does point to how much work and how many different kinds of work are involved in wisely and properly managing a home. There's a lot to make a home work. Isn't there, ladies? There's a lot to make a home work. All of the things that this virtuous woman does. Verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. The virtuous woman is a woman of incredible strength. She's got incredible energy. To put on or clothe with a belt around the waist symbolizes preparation for action. She's always thinking about what she's going to do next. She's prudent. This virtuous woman is not a weak woman. She's competent. She's strong because she's strong in the spirit. She perceives, verse 18, that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. In other words, she will look for ways to mend or make clothing in order to make the most of her husband's income. You see how thrifty she is? She is a good steward of what is provided for her by her God, by her husband, This virtuous woman is much more than a skillful manager or homemaker. She's also a woman of great compassion. She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she stretches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow. I don't want to mention that, but it's coming. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, this woman anticipates weather changes. She makes the proper adjustment well ahead of time to not get caught off guard. The Hebrew for scarlet here is an interesting word. It suggests a double thickness. It doesn't have anything to do really with the color. So she's thinking ahead. She's thinking, okay, it's going to be cold, and now you know what you do, ladies. Out comes the clothing that was boxed for the summer, and now here they are. The boots, the heavier shirts, the sweaters, the hoods, you know, the gloves and everything right there. That's what she does. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk, in purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I would only add here that her husband could not be known in the gates or a place of prominence apart from having a God-fearing wife. Her prominence in the home and activity within the community forms the foundation of her husband's respected position among the elders at the city gate. And so this woman is not only an asset to her husband and the family, she's also an asset that makes him able to be in a place of prominence, a place of leadership. It's been said that behind every fruitful man, you can be sure that there is a fruitful, praying, godly woman. She makes fine linen and sells it, and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Notice, strength and honor are her clothing. So you could say that when it comes to character, she's one of the best dressed women in town. But what does she wear? She's clothed with strength. She's clothed with honor. That's beautiful. She does not find her identity in being fashionable. I'm sure, knowing this gal, that she probably dresses well, dresses properly, but that wasn't how she found her identity. She found her identity in who she was as a daughter of the king. And she found her identity in being in that role of being that wife that would make sure to come along Adam. Remember, Eve was brought to Adam because Adam was looking for a helpmeet. This gal is a helpmeet. If there's anything about a woman, if there's anything about a wife being a cheerleader, this gal was probably a cheerleader. She was probably, no doubt, prayer partner. And here she is. Strength and honor are her clothing. Peter writes about the outward adorning of extravagance in contrast to the inward adorning of a meek and quiet spirit. No doubt this woman is modest. And to depend on spiritual beauty, that's what she depended on, not the artificial beauty of the fallen world system. And it says, she rejoiced in time to come. It's an expression of her confident hope in the future because of her strong faith in God. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. How wonderful it is, men, to have a wife who can speak wisdom. That's the idea here. What mom is telling her son, you should find a wife that can give you some wisdom. What's the implication, Maham? He needs it. And so many guys are so proud that they refuse to receive wisdom from our wives. That's just foolish. She opens her mouth with wisdom. A virtuous woman is careful in her speech as well as in the way that she dresses. She is a woman of godly wisdom and kindness. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's like a law. She's wise. She's kind. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that agape is kind. I love that word. It's very beautiful, isn't it? Don't you like being around kind people? This gal was kind. And no doubt, whoever was over the house, they would sense this law of kindness. Adam Clark wrote these words: "This is the most distinguishing excellence of this woman. There are very few of those who are called managing women who are not lords over their husbands, tyrants over their servants, and insolent among their neighbors." This gal has got a lot going for her. And one of the things that was precious in the sight of the Lord was how she spoke. She spoke with wisdom, and there was the law of kindness. Verse 27, "She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness." Now, I don't want to question the word of God, but who would have thought, reading what we've read so far, that this gal is a couch potato watching soap operas? "She eats not the bread of idleness. The virtuous woman is known for her faithfulness to her God, her husband, and her family." You know, Proverbs has nothing good to say about laziness, whether it involves a man or a woman. In 1 Timothy 5:14, Timothy hears from Paul, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Isn't that interesting? So the implication is there is a way that a woman can conduct herself that would give the adversaries of God reason to reproach what? Him. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he says that the older women are to teach the younger women. Here's the women's ministry: to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. She looks well to the ways of her household. She's virtuous. She's faithful. She's not lazy. She is all in. And she's got a lot of irons and a lot of, she knows how to buy property. She knows how to find a garage sale. And yet she's all in. Her heart and her mind are just so Godward focused and translated into how to minister in the Lord's name to her husband, to her family, to the poor, to the needy, to anyone that comes over. This is a spirit-filled woman. Her children also rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. What a need there is today for husbands and children to show their appreciation for their wife and mother. Now, I know, sadly, that that's not always the case. I know that. And it's heartbreaking. But as a rule of thumb, how important it is for children and husband to recognize the value of that woman. I think one of the greatest weaknesses in many homes today is that family members take their mother for granted. I believe, Every day should be Mother's Day in a Christian home. Well, that went over real well. Every day. You wake up, kids get up, call her blessed. Lizzie gets up, praise God for another day. Yeah. Never take. Talk to a man who has lost his wife. She's in heaven. And boy, oh boy, you'll hear, I never thanked her enough. I never praised her in the name of the Lord enough. How I wish I fill in the blank. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. The words here are those of her husband praising her. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The Bible tells us that we are to beware of covetousness, but there are times, maybe you've felt this way too, that I do wish that I had just a few of the billions that Elon Musk has. And it would be to put a passage like that on a program like Dancing with the Stars or MTV or this scripture. Just want to put it on every channel for like a whole hour throughout the whole country. And you go click. Going to watch a baseball game. And you're going to say, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. Well, let's just watch the Weather Channel. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Do you believe that? This is not the message that the world system is giving to our society. We saw in Proverbs 11, verse 22, as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman which is without discretion. And it is so sad how true the Bible is. Beauty, her true beauty is within. And though the years might change her body, her beauty in the Lord only gets greater and greater. Peter writes about this beautiful woman in 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Her adorning is not the outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And as we draw close to the end of this chapter and this book, Proverbs ends where it began, with a reference to what? The fear of the Lord. You see, that's the key. The fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of what? It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. She fears the Lord. She lives in an awareness of Him. Now, yes, the husband, the children, and all who are around her are impacted by her. But you know what? She's not doing what she's doing primarily for them. She's doing whatever she's doing for the Lord. That makes all the difference in the world. She fears the Lord. She lives in awareness, living in an awareness of Him. She's serving Him in what may otherwise seem to be just mundane affairs, little things. It's amazing the little things that our wives do. Amazing. Give her the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Wow. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown say, the virtuous woman is to be appreciated and blessed by her husband and family. The result of her labor is her best eulogy. Nothing can add to the simple beauty of this admirable portrait. And I agree. I agree. The Reformation Study Bible has a beautiful exhortation at the close of this chapter. Let me read it to you, and then we will worship. This is so beautiful. For the Christian, everything in life must be directed by this great aim. Listen carefully, beloved. To please the God who has saved us. Whether you are a man or a woman, adult or child, married or single, What are some specific qualities about the virtuous woman portrayed here that you should imitate? How does her example teach you and me what it means to fear the Lord? We can all glean from this woman. We can all learn from her the value there is in walking in God's wisdom and in God's truth. I mean, this girl, there's no description of what she looks like physically. You notice that? It doesn't give her height, her weight, you know, anything like that. This is what God says is beautiful. This is what God says is valuable. You see, because God always values the inward before the outward. Not that the outward is not important. And this woman is a living example of what it means to love the Lord her God with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it impacted her husband, her children, everyone that she touched. That's a godly woman. You know, and I want to thank God for how many godly women are in this church. I want to thank you. I'm so blessed to see you, how you love the Lord and love your husband and love your children in season and out of season. What a beautiful thing it is. What a beautiful thing it is. And so, we're done with Proverbs. You know, there's 31 Proverbs, and it's been said by some, there's one for every day of the month. A proverb a day keeps the devil away. A proverb a day keeps the flesh at bay. It's a very, very practical book. So, Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the godly women that you bring in our lives, whether it be our mothers, our wife, our daughters, or our sisters in Christ. And Father, for any single men here tonight, Lord, I just pray that, Lord God, you would cause them to not compromise or settle for anything less. I'm sure that this woman was not perfect. I'm sure that she had her ups and downs. I'm sure that there were days when she was not feeling well and that she needed her husband and her children to be there to comfort her. There's no perfection in any home until we get to heaven. But I thank you, Lord, that you've given us such a standard that we can look to. This is just a woman, a sinner who falls short of the glory of God. But what you can and what you will do when there's a heart that is yielded to you. Father, give to each and every one of us, whatever our marital status is in life, give us hearts that are yielded to you. Give us hearts, Lord God, that desire to please you more than pleasing self. And I pray for those, Lord, who tonight through this message, maybe there's hurt, maybe there's pain, maybe there's resentment. I pray that you would minister to them as only you can. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for this book. It's as practical today as when Solomon put the quill to the parchments back then. Let us not take it for granted, but live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy name. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Kids from 4 to 10 years old are invited to a one-day BBS on Saturday, August 9th at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Gather up the kids in the neighborhood and join us as we learn about the gospel and have fun playing games, making crafts, and singing songs about the love of Jesus. This magnified one-day BBS is from 9 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. and includes a complete lunch. Saturday, August 9th at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Stick around after for more free food, a bounce house, and games next door at Edmund Lyon Park. Register today at quinnityofellowship.com. See you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.